We love and appreciate you. Thank you that in a time and in a world when it's not popular, you make the time to come to church. I hope and I pray that you come not because mom and dad says that you have to, but because you want to be here. So we honor you. We don't tolerate the youth. We celebrate the youth. There's a difference for that. We bless you guys and love you. Thank you for making the time to fellowship in the house of the Lord this morning and to get together for corporate fellowship. You can do it on your own, but there's something special when the brethren get together and dwell in unity. Last week in our absence, I had the privilege of ministering in Clarence, not at a church, but at a business premises. It's not a church as such in the sense that there's a building dedicated specifically for it and set aside. There's no leadership structure. There's no mandate and vision and mission from God concerning that thing. But just a business person has on their heart to get together and have the Word of God preached to people that are hungry for it. It's Dick and Yuki Madu that used to live here up here in Funabel, and they're members of the Centurion Motorcycle Club. They moved out there several years ago. Dick and his partner Rick, run an antique shop, which is interesting, and he's got a section there where he's got chairs packed in and a little bit of a platform, a stage with instruments and microphones, and they get people to speak. And for a while last year already, he's been asking me to come. We set a date, and I went there. The Victor's with us, Jacques Kanay, just to help us in terms of ministry, that it's not just us there on our own. And it was a privilege to be able to share the word with people that are hungry. I think there were about 30 odd people there. 48 people. So 48 people, which was more than the first time they had it. And from all walks of life, there was people from Holland, from the Netherlands that were there. There were motorcyclists, non-motorcyclists. And what is encouraging to see is just people that are hungry for the Word of God. And I say this with absolute love and humility. When people that don't go to church, that are not involved in church life, when God speaks into their heart, they think like, wow, die Here gebruik jou en jy het met my gepraat en hierdie ou preke ou raak. And they're like, wow, because they're not used to that when God speaks in such a profound way to them. But anyway, so that's where we were. Thank you for your faithfulness in our absence. So, this week the Lord has laid a message on my heart that I've called Church is War. Now, I want to say, if I've met with you this week or last week or sometime and I've spoken about the unity of the body and preserving the bonds of peace, please don't think that you've been picked on. Please don't think that I'm pointing fingers at you. This is something that the Lord has laid in my heart, and let receive it as such, that as something that God wants to say to His body. Is that okay? Are we at peace? So I'm not speaking to or preaching at anybody. I'm sharing the Word of God with you this morning. We've partaken in communion this morning, and in the same way, God has prepared a table for us in the presence of His enemies. We're going to share the Word of God together. Is that okay? So I'm going to play a little bit of a role here.
I'm the devil. Ha! This is the body of Christ. I've come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But wait. I can't break it. It's too strong. Here there's unity, there's togetherness, there's peace and harmony and love. What can I do? But wait, I know. I'll bring division. I'll cause them to split. I'll cause them to splinter and tear apart. I'll make them tired and frustrated with each other. I'll bring impatience. I'll bring misunderstanding. I'll bring tiredness and weakness into the body. I'll get them when they're on their own, and I'll just break the bonds of fellowship, and I'll snap them. I'll just break them apart. When there's no unity, I'll make sure they're impatient with each other,
and don't understand each other, and I'll fragment them. Yes, and even more, I'll keep them from corporate fellowship. I won't get them to have a desire to fellowship with each other. I'll get them to decide, us four and no more. We'll each do our own thing. I'll get them to take the bait. Yes, what bait? I can't tell them Jesus isn't real. They know that. They know that God is alive. I'll keep them apart and distant from each other. I'll get them to believe that, no, I'm not going to run the risk of getting hurt because church people hurt me. I'll stay away. I'll just stick to myself and my family. We won't get in fellowship. And before you look at it, the body of Christ will be fragmented and torn apart. That's what I'll do. Folks, I don't know what church life is like for you. And I don't know what I've done with my message. I'm going to find it in a second. There we go. I don't know. I don't know what you said there, Louis, but it sounded profound. I don't know what you expect when you come to church. I don't know what you expect when you get involved in Christianity and think that you're going to walk a walk with God. I want to say that what the Lord has laid on my heart is that church, it sounds so weird, but church is war. Church is war. Church is not a Sunday picnic. It's not something that I casually add to the end of my social calendar. It's not something that I do to appease my conscience. We're literally involved in the fight of our lives for our very lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 6, it says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. What human reasoning? No, I'm not going to subject myself to that because I'm going to get hurt. Somebody's going to say or somebody's going to do. And I've been let down this amount of times and that amount of times. And I can't forgive myself and I'm not good enough and I'll be okay and I can serve God on my own. That's human reasoning and false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Coming to church and being part of church life is not a casual Sunday picnic. It's outright warfare. Jesus has already won the victory for us, but we still have to claim that victory by faith. What kind of God do you think God is? Most of you now, you're probably thinking that God is love. He is love. You know, when Jesus Christ introduced himself to Joshua, he didn't say, I'm the Prince of Peace. I'm gentle Jesus, meek and mild. He stood there with a sword in his hand. With a sword in his hand. And identified himself as the leader of God's armies. What an introduction. What kind of God is God? In Exodus chapter 15 and verse 3, it says, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. That's the New King James. The NLT says, the Lord is a warrior. Leonard? Huh? We had a wonderful off-road ride yesterday and had a lack of time of fellowship, going where mountain goats fear to tread. And Leonard did so well. It's the first time he rode a two-wheel bike like that in such extreme conditions. And he did exceptionally well. Het gesweet, but he finished. He got to the top and his bike is kitted out with a sticker. It says, warrior. The Lord is a warrior. Yahweh is his name. That's the kind of God we serve, folks. Church is not a casual Sunday picnic. It is warfare. The love and the bonds of peace that we have for and between each other is under constant attack, even when you sleep. Even when you sleep, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But God is also at work when you're asleep, in your spirit, watching over your spirit, depositing stuff in your spirit. We need to dress for success. We need to dress for success. That was a song sang by Roxette. I thought, I want to get dressed for success. I don't know the rest of the words, but I'm dressed for success. When you go to the beach, you don't rock up at the beach in a top hat and tails and a tuxedo. You don't rock up fully kitted in your bike gear and all the body armor and protections. You rock up in your beach, at the beach, in your amperbroekie and your costume and your... You dress for the occasion. So when I come to church, how am I coming to church with my vulnerability and being open and exposed and ready just for the devil to sidewind me? Or do I know that I'm a threat to the kingdom of darkness? Because I'm created in God's image and my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. I'm coming with a purpose to meet with my brethren, to fellowship and dwell in holy unity and communion with each other, to seek the face of God, to build the kingdom of God, and I'm ready. If God be for me, who can be against me? Greater is Jesus in me than he that's in the world, and I'm ready, come what may. When I live or die, I live or die for Christ, but I am engaged in warfare. Do we go to church like, casually stroll out of bed? What time? You're 3 minutes past nine. I better just... When we come, do we come with an expectancy out of the deep end? What are they going to sing this morning? The same old, you know? And I just wish this was different. And that was different. And what is Mozzie going to be on about this morning? And who is going to be there? Who's not going to be there? And where do I come? Lord, this is warfare. Even the very journey on the way to church, enemy wants to stop you from receiving. Are we dressed for success? Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor. No, make sure you got your picnic blanket, the picnic basket nicely stocked, and your little sparkling drink, and your little sun hat, and your sun umbrella, and... Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil, for we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world. And it goes on and on and on. Speaks about the armor of God in verse 18. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. I want to say this to you, church. If you see a loved one, someone that's really, really dear to you, and they're under serious, serious attack from a hell-bent, extremely dangerous criminal or a dangerous animal, and you see they're about to be killed and taken out by the criminal or the animal or both, and the criminal is acting like an animal, and they're about to attack this loved one, and you're in a position to protect them, completely, safely, effectively, efficiently, without any further harm to you or to them. Amen. Yeri for more. It's the right time, the right place, and you're there and you're able to protect them and save a life. What are you prepared to do that? Will you do it? Will you do it? I'm not talking about if you're going to be a hero now and you're going to die a legend and the enemy, the criminal, the animal is going to take you out. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you have the means and the know-how to effectively protect them and save their lives. Your loved ones, your dear ones that are dear to you. What are you going to do? What are you willing to do? How far will you go to protect them? Knowing that you won't come to any harm and you'll save their life. Are you going to do that? So why don't we do it when it comes to spiritual things? When we see the parts of our body, it's more than my booties and my sissies in the air. It's parts of my body under attack from the devil. When it gets a little bit uncomfortable, when it gets a little bit difficult, when it gets a little bit hurtful, a little bit painful, a little bit inconvenient, a little bit costly, do we withdraw and just let the devil have at it and have a field day and take apart the very fabric of what keeps us together. Why don't we fight for what's worth fighting for with everything we've got? Why don't we give our all to protect those ones and to watch over them and to love them and to care for them? Is emotional and friendship ties and love bonds, is it risky? Of course it is. Of course it is. Do you make yourself vulnerable? Of course you do. Do you make yourself, put yourself in a place where you can get hurt and abused? Of course you do. But ask yourself, when you see what the body of Christ can be, should be, supposed to be, and is in the end times, I ask you, my brother, my sister, is it not worth it? Is it not? What would you rather be part of? The Rotary Club of South Africa, God bless them. Or some other social organization or whatever. People say, ek wil nie meer soontoe gaan nie, want daar's te veel politiek. Well, guess what? Wherever jy opdaag, jy is een van die grootste tiks. Want jy's 'n mens. En waarewer daar mense is, gaan daar issues wees. Hoor wat die Here sê vir oggend julle. If you want to escape politics and issues, please just resign as a homo sapien. Not a homosexual, né? I didn't say that. A homo sapien. Human species. You resign from the human race. Go take up citizenship on Mars and become a bitty, bitty, bitty Martian. If you want to get away from politics. So just dress up, pitch up, grow up, and deal with it. We have to. Why? Because it's worth it. You are worth it. What the fruit on the other side of your obedience is worth it. Do you sense that maybe I'm a little bit passionate about this morning? Why? Folks, because there isn't plan B or C or the next best thing from the kingdom of heaven for us. This is it. Church is it. People say, I'm not going to church anymore because they're a bunch of hypocrites. Possibly. They're false. Possibly. They're a bunch of ja-broers. Possibly. But let's say you don't want to get involved in the politics of church and the structure of church. That's wonderful. So you're so anointed that there is no church out there that's good enough for you. You just haven't found what you're looking for yet. Great. So then in your Holy Trinity, me, myself, and I, you get together with whoever, your heavy, your swaar, whatever, and there's two of you. And then you become so on fire for the Lord, then somebody else visits there. And it visits and starts to grow and grow. You meet in your lounge and it's wonderful. Because the Bible says where two or more gathered in His name, there He is present. And that's good. And then when it grows too much, your lounge is too small, then you move to your garage. Then the garage is too small and then? And as you're longer like that, then you're back to square one. You can't escape this that God has put in place for us to grow together. You know, some people like slotting into a place where everything is running smoothly, where it's flourishing, where the people are spoilt for choices of leadership, and the different departments in the church are growing, and the youth, and the young adults, and the kids, and the toddlers, and the this, and the D4Cs, and all whatever, and the music ministry is flourishing. They got several teams that they can choose from on a Sunday, and they got senior pastors, associate pastors, youth pastors. It's just oralstein. They slot in, and they just go with the flow. Or you can be part of getting into the nitty, gritty, dirty hands work, fell goed onder jou fingernails, of being part of growing something and being somebody that mixes the mortar, the cement, to build one step at a time. One step at a time. It's going to cost you everything, everything to make a success of it. Should we not do the same for our same for our Christian brothers and sisters when we see the enemy coming to mess up our lives and to give our everything for what's worth it? This is written on a wall on the inside of the Mother Teresa Children's Home in Calcutta. People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. And it's only me. You saints, you've got it all together. People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you're successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you're honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. Isn't it like that with trust? It could take years and years and years to build and can be destroyed in a moment. I will never let my guard down again. I will never trust again. If you find sincerity and happiness, some may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best you have, and it will never be enough. Give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. That's written on the wall. I say this morning. Loving others and being loved is risky. Do it anyway. Do it anyway, because it is worth it and because Jesus done it first. I want to ask you, has anybody ever done or said anything to you that compares in any way to what was done to the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, oh, Mozzie, it's easy because he's Jesus and I'm not this. And no, that's wonderful. But God said, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. That's why it says we sent into the world as lambs, as sheep amongst wolves. Church is war. Just because we believe and have received wonderful promises of God, they're not just going to be put into our laps. We have to fight for them. We have to fight for them. It is worship. Leonie and I, jare terug, ons het lekker vasgesit. I love Leonie. She speaks her heart, and she's a D person, a domineering, disciplined. Sy roep my eendag na die diens om te praat oor iets wat ek gesê het. Onthou jy, Leonie, ek het geen a genuine didn't know what happened. I gave an illustration where Philly got to speak in my place and he prepared his message and stuff like that. And in the sermon I spoke about, imagine if somebody prepares you this best meal and then you go and have fast foods at McDonald's. I mentioned the name of the fast food place and guess what? Dis presies wat Johnny hulle gedoen het. Hulle het iets elders, 'n ander bediening gaan support, 'n pastoor gaan ondersteun and they went and ate there. En toe hulle terugkom, dan kom ek, ou groot bek van Joburg se kant, met my story oor die, imagine somebody prepares a meal for you and you go and have fast foods. And Leonie was convinced I was picking on them. I didn't even know they'd been that. Onthou jy, Leonie? And I can tell you what, nadat ons koppe gebots het, our relationship is better than it's ever been. Why? Because we grew through that. She could have whipped herself and said, hierdie pastoor, ek gaan my ander kerk soek. And I could have said, who the hell do you think you are telling me what to do? I'm the pastor. No, but we loved each other through it. We have to get to a place where we say, I don't like this and this and this and this about you, man. He's so mukhu. But I love you. Now let's build the kingdom together. Somebody shout amen in this place this morning, please. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Fight the fight. Huh? Is dit waaroor gaan in die kerk, Mosie? Ja. No, you'll stay, isolate yourself. What is it? It's Proverbs 18 verse 1, I think. It says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire and rages against all sound judgment. Fight the good fight of faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. Consider these occupations. All right? And what do they mean for Christians? Consider this. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 to 7. Endure suffering along with me. Ah. What do we have to do to suffer? Ons moet die kerk toe kom, julle. Ons moet net kerk toe kom. Somewhere along the line, the honeymoon is going to end. And you're going to have to do real life with each other. Now, please, yeah, I started by saying, if I met with you in the last 2 weeks and spoken about this, it is not op jou gerig nie. This is what God is saying. Because I'm exposed to other pastors from other churches in pastoral fraternals, and guess what? Selle goed daar. If a church or a relationship is a threat to the devil is going to try and do what I've done with this rope. If you have no threat to the kingdom of darkness, I gaan jou uitlos. It's going to be no issues. Why? Because you're ineffective. Jy doen borrel. Is nie vloekwoord nie, is bietjie kras, I apologize, but I don't know how else to put it. You're ineffective for the kingdom of God. So he's going to leave you alone. He's not going to come and try and do this. He's not going to try and isolate you because you're ineffective. But if you're effective, and you see, the devil knows God's word that he's spoken. Hello? He can't predict the future, but he knows the future of what God has said. And he knows the kingdom advancement that's going to take place on the other side of your obedience when you fight the good fight of faith and protect and nurture and keep godly relationships together. So guess what? He'll try and destroy it because he knows what's coming. He knows what's coming. So what are these occupations? 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 to 7. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier. Not a holiday maker or a retiree or a soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. Athletes do exercise. Huh? Sometimes the only exercise that people do is when they jump to conclusions and they take offense. It's the only exercise they do. They win the prize. Don't win the prize unless they follow according to the rules. And hardworking farmers, you know? A farmer is a special person, special for Bay, because it's because of their faith in Levietu and Lekinis and their hard work and dedication that I have food to eat. Farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Think about what I'm saying. The Lord will help you understand all these things. So we have soldiers, we have athletes, we have farmers, not casual picnic holiday makers. Strandlopers. These occupations require tremendous effort and discipline, and so does Christianity. And so does Christianity. Ephesians 4 and verse 3, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. Bring yourselves together, binding yourselves together with peace. This every effort will be like war, not a Sunday picnic. This united in the Spirit, there will always be a tremendous satanic onslaught on this Christian unity, because the devil knows it possesses great power to advance the kingdom of God. If you're unfortunately not part of a care group yet, I want to pose these questions to you, which is part of the care group discussions. What makes a rope of many individual strands so strong? The next question is, how does the body of Christ, in the context your local church, stay strong when there's unity and love? How does it do that? What gives it strength? And then the third question is, what can you do to ensure that there's unity and love in your church? Gentlemen, please put that picture up of the ants. There we go. I want you to see how profound this is. Maybe we can dim the lights so it's just a little bit, or not dim, but switch the center lights off. Go and see a little bit clearer. What you see there is incredible, incredible creatures. You must see how the book of Proverbs describes ants. The book of Proverbs describes them in an incredible way, what industrious little creatures God has created of here. There's a picture of these 12 little creatures gathered around a single droplet of water on a leaf. Even the ants know that it is wise to get together in smaller groups of three. Because if they all approach it from the one side, the leaf would be out of balance and the drop of water would roll off and they'd all die of thirst. But no, even these things realize an ant, ladies and gentlemen, an ant in the name of everything that is sacred. Your brain is larger than the size of this ant's brain. But the ant knows that it is effective in smaller groups of three to get together to ensure that they partake of what is necessary for life. The ants know this. The ants know this. I'm going to ask us to do something very, 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 very practical here this morning. I'm going to ask you, can you say hello? Okay, so hello. Right, fantastic. Can you say amen? Okay. Moet asseblief nie vir my of vir jouself of enigiemand anders ooit sê jy kan nie bid nie. Jy lieg vir jouself. Die duivel het vir jou gelieg. So moenie in die konteks van 'n klein groep sê nee, mos ek kan nie bid nie. Because jy het nou net jouself verkeerd bewys. Jy het gesê hallo en jy het gesê amen. As jy kan hallo sê en amen, so waar is wragtig kan jy bid. Nou relax. Moenie sewe agter geraak nie en kyk vir die eerste deur om uit te vlug. I'm not going to ask you to pray. I'm going to ask you to do something very, very practical, please. I don't know how we're going to do this. I'm the visionary person. I see the end goal. Then I need the other personalities to tell us how we're going to get there. Ek weet nie hoe ons sal kom nie, maar julle sal self moet besluit. I'd like us to get together in small groups, please, just quickly. Preferably, well, definitely not with friends and family, but in terms of the areas in which you play. I'm talking Rissieville, Duncanville, Drie Riviere, Vanderbijl Park, Put Sonnewater, Gommaspoort, of I don't know. Please, stand up and get... Domer, jy vir ons, ek weet nie ook waar is Gommaspoort nie, maar... By HBT. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. I know we are the HBT, but we all stay in different areas. So just if you can say hello and if you can say amen, just shout the name of your suburb quickly and just get together, please, in groups no more than five people. Quickly, can we do that? And then stay there together. Okay, what suburb we got there? Duncanville. And if the Duncanville group is too big, ons gaan opsplit. I want everybody involved, please. Everybody involved. Everybody. Let's take a few minutes to do this. Ek weet Gerard en Rose, hulle bly uit daai kant, hulle is ver. Duif is in Pretoria, Belinda is in Oranjeville. Sonland Park, I've got Sonland Park over here. Wat se voorstad is hierdie? Three Rivers, okay. Three Rivers, any hookie daar so for my, asseblief. I've got Sonland Park. What other suburbs do we have? Okay, Falcon Ridge and Sonland Park is twee verskillende voorstede. Net vir illustrasie doeleindes. Ek weet hulle is aangrensend met mekaar, but net vir illustrasie doeleindes. Kan ons net daai hookie gebruik? I need to make more space here, please. Falcon Ridge or Duncan or Sonland Park, whoever's over there, please. Please. Okay. Now, folks, while you're doing this, if Drie Riviere, ek hoor 'n Drie Riviere daar agter. Daar's 'n Drie Riviere hierso. Rissieville over here. May Houghton. Can I get May Houghton over here, please? Can May Houghton come here? Asseblief. May Houghton, kan jy hierna toe kom asseblief? Yes? Vanabel. Daar sê, Vanabel Park. Vanabel Park. Okay, right. Folks, okay, is there anybody that's in a suburb that's not been mentioned yet? Homelands. Right. Can I get the homelands over here, please? Esau, homelands, Esau. Homelands, Esau, please. Homelands, Esau. Homelands, Esau. Ek weet van julle is skaam en julle is nie lus nie, maar ek vra asseblief, werk net saam met my vanoggend asseblief. Okay, right. Folks, right, now listen to this. Okay, let's settle. Thank you. Thank you for working with me. I'm not trying to treat you like children or anything. This is practical. We need to see this picture. Many of these groups, you're more than five. Split up to groups of five, please. Split up. Five, maximum six. Maximum. So if there's 14 people in Duncanville, let there be two groups of six. Split up. Awesome. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay. I'd like one representative from each suburb or each area. Just one. Raise your hands, please. Okay. One representative from each area. Okay. So I see. Please keep your hands up. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Put your hands down. The potential for 17 care groups. 17 care groups in this church. Vandag sit ons met 3. 3. 3. Dan wonder ons hoekom ons hierdie size bly. En mense, hoor en voel wat die Here sê vanoggend. Ek jaag nie nommers na nie. I'm chasing the kingdom of God. I want to plunder hell and populate heaven. Why can there not be 17 care groups? Yeah, but Mozzie, we love each other and we used each other. That's great. Take everything that's important, that's special about it to you and think about how it can be a blessing in somebody's life that has not yet experienced what you have experienced, my brother, my sister. Dan besluit jy, nee, ek gaan eerder maar alleen sit by die huis en my duime draai. I'm asking you in the name of Jesus, prayerfully consider your involvement to make our care groups grow so that we can have wisdom like ants and effectively partake and enjoy what God has prepared for us at His table of abundant provision. The care groups that are going and flourishing and faithful and dedicated and committed and big, this long call for bay. Die tyd waar jy moes opgesplit en sê, but I can't do this and I'm not qualified and die and die. If you can say hello and you can say amen and you can read, you can lead the care group. You can lead a care group and have time of intimate connection and fellowship and intimacy with each other to be there for each other. Are you going to be let down? I'll write you a letter now and say yes, you will. Are you going to be disappointed? I'll give you nog a letter, wat daai sê. Are people going to hurt you? I'll give you another letter. Are they going to stab you in the back? Yes. But when you need the body of Christ is going to be there for you, my brother, my sister. Please, please, prayerfully consider your involvement in the care group life in this church as we do war together. Baie dankie, terwyl ons staan. Die vraag is, what exactly is a care group? A care group is a group of people who do life together in somebody's home. Verkieslik nie by die kerk nie, because it's awesome om te sien hoe mense leef wanneer jy in hulle huis is en jy is in hulle huis. You do life together. That's how they really are. Jy kom by mekaar en onder andere ingesluit, nie uitgesluit nie, of eksklusief. Bespreek jy Sondagse boodskap, waar jy dit kan unpack en opbreek en deel met mekaar. Yes, Jy vra mekaar vra, dis nie 'n Bybelstudie nie. Dis nie 'n social gathering nie. Jy besluit nie wie kan join en nie kan join nie. Jy probeer mekaar te akkommodeer. Nee, ons gaan besluit wie gaan deel wees en wie nie gaan deel wees nie. Nee, laat hulle maar besluit of hulle daar wil inskakel want hulle kry daarso wat hulle voel hulle het benodig. Gaan visit die ander omgee groep om te sien hoe dit werk. So onder andere, you do life together. You discuss the word of God. You unpack what happens here to make sure that you get it from here to here in the care group. You have social times, you invite the other people that are unchurched to that group to do life together. You take care of each other in a kleiner context. Mense is miskien bietjie skaam om voor ander te praat, but you have a one-on-one relationship. Dis die plek waar if you know somebody's unchurched, you say, "Woorie, ek en 'n paar vriende van my, nie hordes, dosyne mense. Ons kom by mekaar en ons gaan 'n lekker braai hou by my buddy se huis. Wil jy saamkom?" Daai persoon wat niks uit wil hê met kerklewe, they decide, "Yes, I'll come and have a braai with you or a fellowship or a fondue evening or a snack evening and have a meal with you." The next time you say, "Jy weet daai sinne groep mense, ons gaan net bietjie by mekaar kom en bietjie daai Bybel deel met mekaar. Wil jy saamkom?" Or you have a meal and after that next time you say, "Look, we're just having a social gathering. We're going to go play 10-pin bowling or whatever together." And eventually you get them to say, "Oh, okay. Christian life and church life is actually lekker." Verstaan jy wat ek sê? Dis vir mense wat nie gewoond is aan kerklewe nie. And to do and you have somebody there that can care for you when you need them most. Iemand dat you can pour your heart out to them, tell them your deepest, darkest secrets. En hulle gaan jou nie in 'n slegte lig bekyk nie. That's what care groups are all about. May Almighty God bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you. May God be gracious to you, lift up His countenance over you and give you peace. Now pray that the Spirit of God stirs your heart, that you carefully and prayerfully consider your involvement in a care group, folks. And leading a care group, I send you the notes and you hoef niks te preek nie. Al wat jy hoef te vra, wat dink jy? You can just go straight to the last questions if you want and ask those questions. The care group notes are structured in such a way. Normally, there's three questions. It's a general question to start the conversation. It's a word question based on the word. And then there's a heart question. Who is hierdie wat ons bespreek het van toepassing op my? It's a general question. It's a word question. It's a heart question. You just have to read. You don't have to do anything. More than that. You make your heart and your home available. And say, "No, if I say anything more, it will not be of God." I love and appreciate you all. Thank you for making the time to listen. God bless you. God willing, we'll see you all same time next week, same place. Remember, for those that want, we're having the AGM straight afterwards here for those who want to. Thank you, guys. God bless you.